Let's pray.
Jesus, we're here today because we believe that you have the words of life. We've come to know that you're the Holy One from God. So we come because we need you. I don't have words to change people. I pray, Jesus, that you would come and change us. We ask for you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So today's New Year's Eve, and most people in our culture, they're thinking about what's something wrong with me that I want to change, something I don't like about myself that I want to have different. And for some people, it might be something along the lines of like this guy, and that would be one of the things I probably would potentially want to change. Yeah, unfortunately, this guy's arms might be slightly bigger than my arms, which is sad, but we look at weaknesses in ourselves, and we're pressured to say, I'm going to change myself. I'm going to fix what I don't like about me. And I don't know that works very well. And a lot of times people, they wind up in gyms, and then they wind up having these sorts of moments, and they think like, oh man. They think one of two things. Either they look down on themselves, oh, I could never be like that, and they get depressed. Or they maybe take even the more prideful route of, oh, that guy, he's such a, you know, meathead, and this is stupid. I don't even want to be that big, you know. I mean, that's not true, obviously. But that's one of two routes most people take. Like, oh, this is dumb. I'm going to get away from it. Or I'm so sad I can never succeed, okay? That's where a lot of us maybe are headed by the time our New Year's resolutions are a couple of weeks old, okay? Now, today, I'm going to be talking to us about our weaknesses, that maybe we shouldn't be trying to get rid of them. But I want to make a clarification here. When I'm talking about weaknesses today, I'm not talking about sin, okay? So there's a difference between a weakness, as I'm going to talk about it, and a sin. So weakness is something you don't like about yourself, okay? Something that maybe you're not as good at as somebody else. You're not talented in that area or something. A sin is something you do that is the opposite of how Jesus would do it if he were living for you. Okay, sin means being less than what God created humans to be. And Jesus is a picture of what God created humans to be. Okay, so if you drive by somebody on the side of the road and Jesus would have stopped and helped them and you don't, like, that's sin. Or if you're young enough to still be in school and somebody's getting bullied and Jesus would stand up against the bully and you don't, then that's sin. Or if you say something with your mouth to tear somebody down at the very moment that Jesus would be lifting that person up, then that's sin. Okay, so that's different than a weakness. Jesus came to set us free from sin. If your New Year's resolution is, you know, to stop drinking because you're an alcoholic, like, that's great. Like, don't take this, you know, anything I'm going to say and say, well, I'm just going to consider that a weakness. I mean, if it's something that's dominating your life, that's a sin that you need to change. But today we're going to be talking about things like that I'm not as strong as I want to be. Or people will talk about like, oh, I don't look the way I want to look. Or I don't do this or that the way that I want. Most New Year's resolutions don't have anything to do with sin. They have to do with little things we don't like about ourselves. Okay? So here's the thing I want to talk to us about today. It's a passage in 1 Corinthians 12 that talks about why God made us the way he made us. If you look around this room, you see nobody looks the same as anybody else. We got a lot of different types of people here. Why did God make us the way he made us? Is there some purpose to the fact that I've got these super scrawny arms or the fact that somebody else is big and strong? Like, what's the purpose of all these differences? So let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 17. It says, if the whole body, talking about people who believe in Jesus as the body of Jesus, says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? I mean, you can picture in your mind kind of this crazy comic image of just a whole bunch of noses in a pile. Like, that's not a person. Like, that's just scary and gross, you know? Like, but a lot of us will look around and say, like, oh, I want to be that. And we all want to be just one of a few types of people. But God didn't make a body out of just one or two or three organs. You know, he gave us an eye and an ears, eyes, hopefully, and ears, and a mouth. He gave us, you know, pancreas and small intestines and all these different things. they're very different, you know? So let's keep reading. Verse 18, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them. Look at this next line. Just as he wanted them to be. So here at Maywood, we believe the Bible. That's part of what we're about here. We say the Bible matters. This verse is telling us that God made you the way he wanted you to be. It's not that you're already perfect or that you don't need to improve anymore or that you don't need to change. But it means that God shaped Dave Gessle and Nick Stewart. God shaped each of you the way that he wanted you to be. He didn't want you to be the same person. He wanted you to have a different role in his body. So when we look at ourselves and say, well, I'm not the way I want to be, a lot of times we're pushing against the plan that God has for us. Let's look at verse 19. If they were all one part, where would the body be? If God's made you as a hand, but you try to spend all your time walking around like a foot, you know, like, good luck, you know, like, it's pretty hard to walk on your hands. You're not going to get very far. And if God made you to be something, but you're not embracing it, you're trying to be somebody else, then you're not doing a service to the body. Verse 20, as it is, there are many parts, but one body. We're supposed to be together as Christians. We can't just be off on our own. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. I mean, God is pretty smart the way he laid out the body. Like, he put the nose about as far away from the feet as he could, you know. Parts of the body don't always get along with each other. As pastor, sometimes I see that, you know. And yet, I can't imagine walking around without a nose. Or obviously, I wouldn't be walking around if I had no feet. So even though these things are different, if they pushed each other away and said, well, I'm going to go have a denomination of noses, or we're going to have the denomination of feet, you know, or something like that's not what Christ ideally wants, okay? So here, verse 22, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Seem to be weaker are indispensable. Lots of people know, here in this room, know me, or they know Coach Bob, or you might know Lisa, who leads our worship team, or Heather, who sings. This Bible verse is saying that when God looks at our body, there's some parts that get overlooked that he says are indispensable. And maybe even at an individual level, the parts that you call weaknesses, maybe God says that's an indispensable part of who I made you to be. That thing you don't like about yourself, that's a piece of my masterpiece making you. Verse 23, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. God sees people who need special, tender love and attention, and he's willing to give it to them. So that there should be no division in the body, but that the parts should have equal concern for each other. This is the goal that God wants us heading towards. He wants us to be connected to each other in such a way that we need each other. That when something good happens to Scott, that I celebrate it. When something bad happens to Mike, that I mourn it. That's actually what the very next verse says here, verse 26. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. I mean, here at Maywood, I mean, we really care about each other. We love each other. But we also, we see a lot of people come in and get victory, and we celebrate it. But then we know a lot of people aren't here today that we cared a lot about 6 months ago. I mean, we got some growing to do on this, of saying we need each other and we're connected Me too. I'm not just saying this to you guys. Me as well. So what am I driving at today? What I'm driving at is you're never going to have this type of relationship with other people if all you do is try to be strong all the time. You're never going to have this sort of relationship if you never open up to other people and say, I need your help because you're better at this than I am. I want to tell you a story about how this worked out in my life because I knew that was true, but then living out that truth was different for me, okay? So I want to take you back to about 10 years ago is where this story starts. And the summer of 2016, I interned with a mission organization down in Mexico. So this is me. There's those little arms I was telling you about. There they are in all their glory. So that's a darby. Like, it's basically the straightest piece of wood I could find down there in Mexico. And I'm trying to level off a foundation of a house because I was leading a housing ministry down there. And so we would build little houses like this. This is Anna, and we built her a house. I'd get a team of high school students, and we'd have 4.5 days to build a little one-room house. It'd be kind of a starter room for a family down in Mexico. And so that's what I was doing that summer, and then the next summer, and then I lived in Mexico for 2 years leading that housing ministry. Now, you would think like, oh, wow, Jake, that's so cool that you did that. Like, man, you must really know how to build a house. You must really know some stuff. Well, unfortunately, like, I wasn't very good at several things that were very important for this job, okay? So first off, maybe the most important was, so here's a family I got to know that first summer. This is Paz and her 4 sons. And I was really good at, like, playing soccer with these kids. I actually taught Victor and Jose how to throw frisbee. They picked up like different frisbee throws way faster than most Americans that I've taught different throws. So really enjoyed playing with them. But then I go over to their house. My Spanish is so bad. It's like, so how are you? Oh, good. What'd you do today? I don't understand what you said to that. And then just awkward silence. Okay, that's it. Always after a couple minutes, awkward silence. It was just always weird. And I have an easy time getting up in front of a bunch of people. I'm really not very social in like real small settings. And so it was not good. Like the Spanish and then the awkwardness, it was a mess. Also, I showed this picture of me working on a foundation, but the construction side of stuff, I'm not actually very good at construction. And particularly, like, I have no eye for a level. Like, my wife could attest to that when I'm hanging stuff in our house, things like that. But so I remember my very first summer there, after I'd been there for about 4 weeks, they put me in charge of a foundation pour. So I've got a brand new team of high school kids that have never done anything before, and I'm supposed to pour a foundation with them. So I set up these form boards, and we get this cement mixer, get the cement mixer going. So this mixer's going, got cement coming down this bucket brigade up, and the cement mixer's on a hill. I got this flood of people coming at me buckets of cement, and I'm trying with my little piece of wood to get this all level, and it's, instead of having a flat foundation, I feel like I have like an oceanic scene or something, you know. It's just like, oh my gosh, like it's wrong. Like, I know enough to know it's wrong. I don't know how to fix it. You know, like, I know it's not level, but like, how do I get it level? I mean, it got so bad. I don't know if you've ever had these moments where you're responsible and no one else can take the wheel, but it's just wrong and you can't fix it. So that's what situation I'm in. And I actually, at one point, I'd say, like, stop, like, bringing me cement. Like, stop the bucket brigade and all of you awkwardly stare at me because I've just made a mess of things and I got to try to fix it. So I'm praying, God, please help me. And someone else saw what a mess I was in. Actually, Jill, this girl in the yellow, and she had seen it before I probably even knew I was in a mess and ridden a bike and gotten my boss. And it was one of those situations. My boss had to come. My boss is standing on the hill next to the moving cement mixer. And from the top of the hill, he says, like, oh, yeah, that corner is really high. It's like, great. Like, from the top of the hill, you can tell better than what I can tell, like, right here, like, sitting, like, right on eye level, you know. And he was right, of course. I mean, it wasn't even, like, he's judgmentally coming in. It's like, nope, you're 100% right. And like, that's how much better you are at this than I am. So you might be thinking, okay, Jake, I think you were in the wrong place. Like, you're in Mexico, you're terrible at Spanish, you're awkward socially, and you're not any good at leveling foundations. So what are you doing there? Well, I really feel convinced God called me to be there doing that. And I was good at some other parts of my job. Honestly, I won't get into that because that's more boring. But I was good at some things, but I was terrible. I was weak at certain parts of it. Why didn't God make me into a Superman who could learn Spanish fast and who could have a great eye for level and blah, blah, blah? That's what I would have chosen for myself. Well, at the same time as I'm working down there, this is me up in the top left there in the white. The guy right next to me is Peluche. Edgar is his real name. Peluche means like teddy bear, but that's what he went by, was Peluche. So Peluche and I started working together a lot, and he's a really goofy guy. We started to become friends, and then we started working together more, hanging out more. And it got to the point where Peluche was the one I would ask for help on things. So, for instance, like I was fixing some plumbing in the back of my house in Mexico and had this wrench. And I'm a smart enough guy here in the States of like I have cheater bars in my tool set and stuff because I've told you about my weak arms. And I didn't have that in Mexico. So I'm working on this stupid pipe that somebody else had obviously installed, and I can't get it loose. I literally had to walk across town, which is not a big town, but I had to walk across town and knock on Peluche's door and be like, can you come to my house? Because I'm not strong enough to get this pipe loose. Like, that's embarrassing. And I mean, it's a big machismo culture like down there. So it was embarrassing enough that like Peluche didn't even make fun of me about it, which was bad. I mean, it was just, he's like, I could come, man. Like, sounds rough if you've walked all the way over here to ask for my help. So I had to start asking him for help on things. And let's go to this next slide. Started asking him for help on those foundation pours. So I'm doing the dummy job in the top left, like just the float, just smoothing it. And that girl who, that's her first week in Mexico, I'm teaching her how to do it because that's an easy job. But I've asked Peluche to do the thinking job, the leveling out right there. And so whenever I got the chance, I'd always have Peluche help me on pours because he was way better than me at it. And I also had Peluche start, well, let me tell you about this story real quick. So this was a pipe that had burst. So Mexico, at least the little town I was in, the water lines for houses run about this far underground. And if you can picture like the cheapest, most brittle garden hose, like, that's what they were. Okay, so we're swinging pickaxes to make footings for the foundation. And so if you hit a water line, you can imagine what happens. So I hit a water line, and those form boards, the water line was supposed to be the trench for the house. So we picked the form boards up and just thought, well, we'll move the house just away from that to fix that problem. So we did that, but we still got this water pouring out. And it's like, well, how are we going to fix this? So my go-to when I was in Mexico, when something happens, I have no idea how to fix it, I said, hey, Peluche, can you get us a plumber? And he says, I need 50 pesos, which is like $5 or something, not very much money. I was like, okay, here's 50 pesos. 20 minutes later, Peluche comes back, no plumber with him, which I was disappointed in. Peluche comes back with just a bicycle inner tube, and I am like, where's the plumber at? And he said, no, we're going to fix it with this. I said, okay. So what are we going to do with your bicycle inner tube? He said, well, give me your pocket knife. So we split the bicycle inner tube to make it a little wider. And then we take that pipe that's squirting water, and we just start wrapping the pipe really tight, which I was like, this is not going to work at all. But when in Mexico, I learned that pretty quickly. When you are in another country, just do what the other people do. And you're better off than your best thinking is just do what other people are doing. So I thought, okay, we'll try it. So we wrap this pipe with this inner tube really, really tight. And we take some metal wire and twist it on there to keep it on there. And the Peluche is like, it's fixed. And I'm like, okay. So we put it in the ground, put some dirt on it. And I'm thinking, like, this is going to be a mess tomorrow. You know, so the next day I get out there in my work boots and I stomp on it and it's fine. Later that week when we have a house there, that pink house that you saw, this is Anna's house. So there we're standing right on top of this spot in that first picture you guys saw. Like a year later, I always thought like that thing has got to be leaking. I haven't been back recently, but even a year later, it was still fine, which was bizarre to me. But the pipe was pretty terrible to start with, so I guess maybe that was just as good as the regular pipe. So all of that happened. Also, Peluche, even though we're very, very different people, he is real outgoing. He's the type of guy that like likes to dance, where like I kind of clam up at dancing and stuff. And like he's real funny and stuff like that. But also, you know, I struggle with being on time in like an American way. Like I'll be 5 minutes late to things, but like Peluche would be literally hours late to things. And Peluche didn't know the Bible very well. He had kind of a hard time having spiritual conversations with people because he'd run into stuff he didn't know how to talk through. So we just had a lot of different strengths and weaknesses. And so I invited him to start coming with me to these house visits that had gotten so awkward for me. I said, why don't you come with me? And they went way better when we were doing them together because he... much more engaging, you know, he would understand what they're talking about too, obviously. My Spanish got better. But also, something people started to see is the connection that we had. They saw that we had this connection, even though we're so different, that like, because we both cared about Jesus, somehow he had brought us together. And that shined a light that I think if I had been some Superman that could do everything, or if Peluche had been some Superman that could do everything, I don't think we would have had that. We want to draw people in. So there's my first thought for you today, is those weaknesses that you're running away from, or those weaknesses that you've been trying to cram and force to change, maybe God put those weaknesses in you for some sort of purpose. Maybe there's some sort of connection that can happen between you and somebody else that will be a light that could never happen if you were strong by yourself. So what does it take to have what Peluche and I have? Well, it took me walking across town, knocking on his door, saying, like, I need your help. Like, that's not a fun moment. It took me several different times saying, like, I don't know how to do this. How do you want to do it? With where you're at today, what if you said to God, I don't just want to give you my strengths. I want to give you every part of me. I'm going to even give you the things I'm not any good at. And I'm willing to go wherever you want to go, even if you're going to put me in a spot where I feel weak or I feel dumb, put me in a spot I don't feel confident. The weak parts are indispensable in us because they're like holes in us that allow God to fit other people and to build something out of us together. If God had made me super strong, I would have never gone over to Peluche's house and asked for help. If God had fixed all your problems for you individually, then why would you need a church? Why would you need a body? But God knows that when people come in this room and they see lots of different types of people who lean on each other, who trust each other, that's going to draw people. It's going to glorify him in a way that super people can't do. So let me tell you a little bit more about this story with Peluche. So this particular family, it's Alfredo and Marie Guadalupe and Juan Alfredito and Juan Pablo, I think, are the kids there. So went over to their house. We'd built that house for them, that little purple house. And Peluche and I go over to visit them, which is something we do pretty regularly. And we get in the house. Marie Guadalupe has obviously been crying for quite a while. She's very upset. So we sit down, and when you're in another country, I mean, they had all their living stuff in like a 12-foot by 16-foot house. So we're real, real tight together. So like I'm sitting on a stool or a box or something. Peluche is sitting on one of the beds, and we're all real close. I mean, I'm just feet away from Marie Guadalupe. And she starts talking about how she's pregnant, but her doctor just told her that she needs to have an abortion because the baby has died. And when she told the doctor, I think my baby is okay. The doctor said, well, you're dumb. I'm the doctor. Obviously, I know what's happening. So she was super upset. And I've told this story once before here, so I'll go through it a little quicker. But so my first thought as I hear that I switch into kind of pastor mode of this is so sad, and we're going to pray about how sad this is. But before I can say anything, Peluche says this one line that just makes me cringe. He says, Guadalupe, if you have faith, then Jesus will heal your baby. And like he says that, and like I could see some of you guys cringe. I see the faces right now. It's like, oh gosh. You don't say something like that to somebody. And here's the deal with Peluche. I told you about the plumbing thing and how I didn't think that was smart. I didn't think it was going to work. But I thought, well, Peluche, I trust you enough. I'm going to do it. Well, honestly, this maxed me out. I had just enough trust in Peluche to keep my mouth shut. I thought, like, well, that's a terrible mistake, and we should have never said that. But I just kept my mouth shut. I had just, God, over more than almost 2 years at this point, had built in me just enough trust to keep my mouth shut in that moment. All those weaknesses and leaning on Peluche took all that time to get me to stop thinking I know the right way to handle this. So as soon as we get out of the house, I'm doing good to keep my mouth shut while we're in the house. As soon as we get out of the house after praying that, that her baby will be healed, as soon as we get out of the house and we're back on this dusty road, bright sun, my mouth starts rattling off like, Peluche, you cannot say that to somebody. Why did you say it to somebody? I start telling them about, this is real recent at the time. I start telling them about my friend Nathan. Nathan was a Christian. Nathan had a ton of people praying for him. Nathan got leukemia and Nathan died. I talked to Peluche at the time about, like, Nathan is dead. Like, God did not heal Nathan the way that we prayed. And you can't tell people stuff you just told Maria Guadalupe. And I was about to just keep, I'm a pastor. I could talk, easily for a long time. I was about to just, sermon time right there on the road. Peluche shut me up with one sentence. Peluche said, I said it because I felt like God told me to say it. And again, if I didn't trust Peluche very much, I would have just tossed that aside. I was like, well, you're wrong. Honestly, that's what I would think with both people. But I trusted Peluche. And so I said, okay, we're going to walk through this as if God has just said that that's true. We're going to operate off of that. So we went and kept talking with Maria Guadalupe. We said, how can we help you? She did not want to go back to that other doctor, obviously. So we gave her a ride to another doctor in another part of the city. And come to find out, Maria Guadalupe's baby was not dead. She was very sick. The baby needed to be on medication. But here back I'm going the wrong way. So 2015, I went down for a visit. That's Maria Guadalupe again. That's me and Peluche because we were both there taking pictures. So Alfredito and Juan Pablo are a lot bigger. That is little Amber that Maria Guadalupe is holding. So she, born healthy, still healthy to this day. Praise God for that. So that family, because Peluche said it in such a bold way, you can only imagine what happens to that family. They both start going to church. They continue to meet with Peluche regularly now. Like, God, they would have said they were Christians before that. But, God took a whole new reality for them. If I would have done it my way, would not have had anywhere near the impact or the glory to God. And maybe not even the hope to make, I don't know what would have even happened. Maybe the baby, maybe Amber wouldn't be alive today. So, here's the reality about me. I went through all that stuff with Nathan. And when that happened, I thought, why did this happen? And now, being at Maywood and having to go through everything with Josh and having to lead in the midst of that, I don't know. I still don't know a lot about a lot of that. But I know in that moment with Peluche, I was wounded about Nathan's death. I honestly don't think God could have whispered in my ear, tell Maria Guadalupe that if she has faith, I'll heal the baby. I think I would have shut that down if God had whispered that in my ear. I was hurt. So what God did is, so God gave me weak arms, gave me a terrible eye for level, gave me a horrible ability to learn Spanish, gave me some social awkwardness, gave me this whole mix, and then a lot of strengths too. He mixed that all together because he knew that would fit me with Peluche, and that I would need him, and I would need him in these ways that would take time to build to this point where this could happen. It had to start small and build over time. Instead of running away from whatever weakness is on your New Year's resolution this year, what if you said to God, here it is. I don't feel comfortable when I do this or that thing. Like Joy today, I was so impressed with Joy who got up and spoke downstairs. Because she said, I don't feel comfortable speaking, but she did it. What if you gave your weakness to God? And what if you had the humility to look around to other people and to ask them for help? You have to stop running away from your weaknesses and say, I am not good at this. I'm going to ask someone else to help me, and together we can do it. Maybe you're at a spot today where you need to move into Maple House. You need to say, I gotta go somewhere where there's other guys. And no place is perfect, but maybe you say, I need the help that they're going to give. Maybe you're here today and you've been coming to church for 80 years. And you still need to say, God, what do you want to do with the weak parts of me? Maybe you don't feel comfortable doing certain things for God. And maybe you find someone else who feels comfortable doing that. I mean, Mike right here on the front row, Mike goes down to and talks to people about Jesus living under a bridge. And for some of us, it would scare us to go do something like that. Maybe you need to partner up with somebody to do something that you say, this is not in my comfort zone. This is going to stretch me. Because, I wish that God healed a lot more people than we see currently. But I also see, like, we're the bottleneck in that scenario. Like, God wants to flow through a body. He doesn't want to flow through one person. God wants to flow through people, ideally more than two. I think he wants to flow through rooms of people like us. But we got to open up to this idea that we need each other so that Jesus can flow through us. He's not just a one-person show. So here's kind of a last slide for us. Back to this guy, goofy guy and the strong guy. I bet these two guys are very, very different. Just obviously they look different. And the one guy is so impressed with himself. I mean, just watch. Ooh, I'm so cool. Ooh. But, like, but, and the other guy thinks he's cool too, you know what I mean? So, I mean, they're agreeing on that. But I bet that the guy on the super strong guy is not strong in some area that the super weak guy is. I bet God could do something more if they would actually trust each other and do something together. And if you've only been hanging around people who like the same things as you and do the same things as you and go to the same places as you, then you're just a pile of ears or something, you know? I mean, like, you can't do very much. You'd be much better off hanging out with some people here that are different than you and then reaching out to some people that are different from you and saying, man, we don't even have any kneecaps at Maywood. Like, we need some, you know, that guy is way different than anything we have. You know, like, we need that at Maywood. So I'm going a little off the rail with kneecaps, I guess. So we're going to close it in. Here's the idea. We always try to close with a blessing. Here's the idea for us today. I don't pray that your weaknesses would change. I pray that you would open those things up to God, okay? So let's pray for that. Jesus, I thank you for making each one of us, that you made us not to be perfect by ourselves, but to be whole when we come together in you. And so, Jesus, I pray you would show us this time, this year, this new year, you would show us how to fit our weaknesses together with other people, that you would flow through your body and independence in new ways this year. It's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.